something has tried to grab hold of me, and so I'm pretty froggy, croaky today, so excuse me. And for all I know, it's the enemy of our soul not wanting this message to be shared. When I last shared, it was about 3 weeks ago, the Lord, remember he gave me that scripture in my heart at 2:30 in the morning before I woke up, jumping, leaping, and praising God. And I knew exactly, you know, what portion of scripture it was, so I said, obviously this is what the Lord wants me to share on. It was, and but I have to apologize. I have to ask for forgiveness because I was like analyzing it after that sermon. I was saying, Lord, what was wrong? It just didn't seem to be clicking, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, well, it was the people, because you guys always seem to draw it out of me. You know, you have a faith and a hunger, and it makes it easy to be able to preach and communicate, you know, the truths of the Word of God. But that day it wasn't working, so who else but to blame you? Because of course it can't be me, right? So I'm here to tell you it was me. You can say, shame on you, Pastor. No, not shame. Don't shame me. No condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? To those who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No, I was preaching this, and, you know, as I've told you, I'm not here to give you sermons that I've been working weeks on, a series that I've got, like, planned out, you know, months in advance. That's not the way God's directed me. God gives me a word now, just on Sunday morning. But the week after I had preached that sermon, and I'm not going to start preaching it again, I'll preach it in a minute, but I started being dealt with by God. And it was the reason that it did not come across the way that I was seeing it, is because I didn't believe it. I didn't believe what I was preaching. And, you know, even though I would say, come on, guys, you know, it's like I was trying to get you to convince me that what I was saying was true. How many know it's a bad spot when you have to have the audience confirm what the person or the individuals who are hearing confirm so that the person saying what they're saying believes it? So that's where I was at. I told you, I just want to be transparent and open because I want to make sure that God's free to move in all of our lives. And I know that if I squelch and close myself up and keep from being honest and transparent and let you know when I make mistakes, that how can I expect anyone else, right? How can I expect our hearts to be open before God on a Sunday morning if I'm hiding little, you know, secrets or things that I know that I've done that really need to be shared with you and ask for forgiveness? So I do ask for forgiveness, and I believe that God has done some things in me so that I can preach this with confidence. He's never asked me to do this before, but he's asked me to re-preach this sermon to you. So for those of you who heard it, you go, oh man, I got to hear this again. Hopefully it's different. So if you would turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 4. I have been going on a journey this last part at the end of the summer. And about 6 weeks ago now, the Lord had me share with you guys on Abba Father. And it's from Romans 8, 14 and 15. And 16, if you carry it all the way through. And the scripture says that those that are led by the Spirit, I think verse 14 says, they are the children of God. And it says, and God has not given us or we have not received from God a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received a spirit of adoption whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father. And that Abba, Father means daddy, daddy. And I know that for me, that was like an expose on my heart because I didn't really understand that. I didn't grip that. I didn't let that sink in. Brian, what you said today was like a precursor to what's here, because it is so much up here, guys, And I mean, I could ask many of you, are you a child of God? You say, yes, I'm a child of God. I know I'm a child of God. It can't be here. Because, I mean, we all know so well up here. We've had it preached to us. It's in us. It's up here. But it's got to be here. And I tell you, when it's here, we won't look the same. We won't act the same. We won't think the same. We won't respond to others the same when they do things to us. We won't think the same that we do about people now. We won't let the government affect us the way that it does, the economy the way that it does. Because when we realize that we are children of God, we will know our God. And because of that, there's something about us that is secure in every situation. The tribulations and the trials will be something we rejoice in because we know it's going to develop more of Jesus in us. It won't be like, oh, I have to face this again. It'll be, no, bring it on because Christ is being perfected in me. See, if we realize that we're children of God, nothing of this world will affect us. I mean, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because we're not seated in this world anymore. We're with Him in heaven. We are. We're with Him in heaven when we are seated in Christ Jesus, when we're cemented in our childhood of God. See, it's so clear to me now here. It's starting to get here. That's what you're hearing coming out. It's starting to get here. And it's. I'm going to start living this. And I don't know what I'll be like. I don't know if I'll be normal. I've never really been that normal, but it is normal. That's right. Heaven is normal for us. Come on, Jesse, get up here. I keep wanting to preach one of these days. He's about ready, I can tell. But I've been going on this journey, and God's, through His grace, taken me on it. So I preached this sermon about Him being our Father. And for 2 weeks, God dealt with me. Started saying, you know, son, you don't think I'm your Father. Or you don't have it here that I'm your Father. Other things affect you. Other things influence you. You don't let the fact that I'm your dad be your only comfort that you need. He started speaking these things to me. Then he had the audacity to let me watch a movie where people were living that life of God being their Father. And I just sat there and I just go like, what have I been doing? What have I become? What have I let the system turn me into? What have I let the world turn me into? What have I let even religious ideas turn me into? A person that's chasing after something that I already have. A person that's striving and clawing my way to try to receive something that has always been mine. Is anybody else relating? So I watched the movie The Father of Lights. I'll get to this. I watched the movie Father of Lights, and it's not available now. You can't get it. Some of you are Googling it already, but it's a movie that is available only in a limited way throughout the country at different showings. But Josh ordered it through like a 3-day window when it was at Bethel, and you could order it online, and he got it. Now, I've given it to some, and if you ask me for it, I will give it to you. I wanted to show it at the church on Sunday, like the week after I saw it, because I said, this is who we should be. Have you, any of you ever watched like a crazy radical story of somebody, how they lived a life of faith, and you just kind of go like, oh, wow, that's really awesome. That's great for them. They can do that. Yeah, you know, Lord, thank you for their testimony. Thank you, God, for showing me, you know, how you worked in their life. And you kind of disregard the fact that if he did it for them, he might do it for you. You ever been there? I've been there lots of times. I see somebody doing signs and wonders, miracles, and say, oh, awesome, Lord, praise God, you know, that's good. Well, maybe someday, you know. When I saw this movie, I didn't do that. I saw this movie and I said, that is who I'm supposed to be. I saw this movie and said, I will not quit now until I'm walking in that revelation of who God is and who I am as his son. So, some of you may be wanting to know how to get the movie. Ask me. I have, for some reason, I've ended up with a copy and I've been giving it out. Josh has been fine with it, but I'll tell you, it'll wreck your world. It'll mess you up because you see people who know God as their Father. And guys, I'll tell you what, if we don't get that, then we will still be running in circles, playing a religious game, and never achieving what God truly wants us to achieve. And that's manifesting or having Him appear in us, Jesus in us. When people interact with us, they should have the experience as if they acted with Jesus. As if they interacted with Jesus. Now some of you may say, Pastor, I could never do that. You're right, you can never do that. And we've been trying to do that. We've been trying to learn enough. We've been trying to do enough things. We've been trying to get ourselves, you know, as cleaned up as we can so we'd be as close to what Jesus looks like when we interact with people. And we, you know, we bite our lip, or we close our eyes, or whatever we have to do to try to keep, count to 10, to keep from trying to let our heart truly be exposed. Wait till we get home to talk about the person. You know what I'm saying? Just being honest and transparent here. Instead of realizing that when Jesus stretched out his hands and his legs and he was pierced, that he became sin who knew no sin, and every sin you committed, past, present, and future, was nailed to that cross, and you became the righteousness of God when you asked him into your life. And everything that you did after that that looked different was a lie. It's not who you are. Who we are is the citizens of the kingdom of God. Who we are is God's people. Who we are is God's children. And I don't know about you, but most parents love their kids unconditionally. And we're wicked, God says. As natural men, we're wicked. And we love our... How much do you think God really loves us? I mean, I've been having to tell myself this over and over again. God, you love me. You love me. And you know what? I think once I start realizing God loves me, it's going to be really easy for me to love anybody. Because I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks. Because as long as I know God loves me, and that's the thing that all mankind is striving for, is not acceptance from each other. That will never fulfill our needs. It will only pacify the moment. But when we truly receive the Father's love into our hearts and realize that it does not matter where we've been, what we've done, it just matters that He loves us. That love is going to be poured out in our hearts in such a way that we, you know, some people say, well, when you just talk about the grace of God and the love of God, people are just going to live crazy. No, when you receive the love of God as we're to truly receive it, you only want to live for Him. Because He's worth living for. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached... Oh, sorry. Let's go back here. I got to go to 3. Because I think... Yeah, here we go. I jumped ahead. Try again. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. In other words, he was begging for money. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter said this, and this is the key. This is the key for every single one of us when we leave today. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have. See, he knew what he had. And that's where we have to get, guys. We have to get to the place where we know what we have. We have to get to the place where Jesus is enough, where the work of the cross is enough, where it's not about what we do from then on. It's about what he's done. And let what he's done inspire us into who we will be. See, Peter was a man who had denied Jesus three times. He was a man who, in all, you know, the worldly standards, was disqualified. Is that not the truth? In his own sight, I bet he was hanging his head in shame. For all we know, around the disciples, when they were waiting for Jesus to come, or when Jesus came, Peter may have had his head hanging low because he denied him. But on Pentecost, that man was restored not only with God's true sonship. See, because he walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He had the word imparted to him. But on Pentecost, his reality of his sonship, I believe, is what he took on. It wasn't just the giftings of the Holy Spirit. For years, that's all I believed, is that it was the giftings of the Holy Spirit that came. It was the residency of the Holy Spirit. But what Peter became was that son. And because he was a son, he carried the same authority as his brother. See, Jesus isn't just our Lord, he's our brother. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And as he is, as it says in 1 John 4:17, as he is now, so are we in this world. And what is he now? He's a resurrected Lord with all authority. And Peter knew that without having the book of 1 John written. It was in his heart. Because the word became flesh in Peter. He spent those 3 years listening to Jesus, sat with him at night, heard things that we don't even have written down. Says that if in the end of the book of John, if all the things that Jesus said were written down, there wouldn't be enough books to contain all that he said. So Peter had that word, it became flesh. And when he came to that man at the gate, beautiful, he said, "Look at us. Look at us." I believe they were carrying the love of God. They were embodying who Jesus was now. They were representing Jesus. It was no different for them to run into Peter and John as if they were ran into as if that man had ran into Jesus himself. Now I say this time with a different intent. And the same thing is with you. Mario, shake my hand. That is no different right now than him shaking Jesus' hand. Do you guys realize that? When you shake somebody's hand, if you knew who you were, if you knew what resided inside of you, if you knew the resurrected Christ that did the work on the cross, that he now resides in you by the Spirit of God, when you shake someone's hand, you look them in the eye, it's as if they're interacting with Jesus. If we can get this, if we realize what God has done in us as his people, that it's not some partial work that we need to continue to work out to where we're finally Christians. No, he made us his. He's empowered us with all the power and authority that he's ever going to give. It's finished. What you and I have to start doing is believing and walking in it. If we don't believe it and walk in it, then we will continue to dwell in darkness. And the problem is, darkness and light don't dwell good together. So when we're dwelling in darkness, when we're dwelling in lies, that we have to be good enough, that we have to do enough, that we have to, you know, whatever your list is, that you think if you achieve it, that you're reaching some pinnacle of spiritual height of, I'm falling here, some huge, help me, Jess. Enlightenment, no. What I'm saying is you've reached some pinnacle height of attainment, that you've reached some level that you've always been striving for. You'll never reach it. I bet you can talk to the person who's in the highest position that you would think in authority, and if you really got down to the nuts and bolts of them, they would say, man, I haven't reached it yet. Folks, we're never going to reach it on our own. And I think we're going to be really well off the sooner we realize that we have no power in this other than to say, wow, what have you done? And I receive what you've done. And then we can say, just as that man received from Peter those words, I don't have anything that you're looking for in materialism, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And that man receives strength in his legs. How many people out there, even brothers and sisters in Christ, have weak legs? They can't even stand in their faith. They can't even be mobilized in any kind of Christian life because they haven't received the love of God. I would have to say, I'm right there. Sure, I do well on Sundays, and sure, I do well at Bible studies, but get me out in public, and it's like, what do I do? I'm just being honest. I don't think it should be that way. I think it should be when people interact with me, it's as if they're having the opportunity to interact with Jesus. Can you imagine if the body of Christ started acting this way? The world wouldn't have a chance. Can you imagine if we started becoming who we're meant to be? And yes, we need to read the Word to know God. That's why we read the Word. It says in 2 Peter that we have these precious promises, that we take on His divine nature through the knowledge of Him. But when we make this Word about all these things that we have to jump through and do and become and all this stuff before we feel like we're saved even, then we're putting a yoke on ourselves. We're putting on that bondage again to fear, guys. You get it? We haven't been given a bondage again to fear. When you feel weighted down, when you feel disappointed, when you feel like you haven't achieved anything, you've got a bondage again to fear. You've got condemnation. You've got that your conscience is speaking evil things. The blood of Jesus cleanses our hearts from evil conscience. That's speaking against yourself. We have to realize the work of the cross is a finished work. And the only thing that we can do is agree with what the finished work does in us. And that makes us sons and empowers us to live for Him free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I tell you what, I have been asking God this whole summer, Lord, reveal your truth to me. And I read the Word. I say, Lord, let the truth come out. And I say, the darkness and the lies and the deceptions that have been spoken over me or that I've seen or that I've interpreted that is against your truth, remove it from my life. And folks, He's doing it. He is doing it. He is opening my eyes. He is opening my heart. He is giving something in me that's thriving and beating, and it's a heart for Him, and it's a heart for people, and it's a heart for you like I've never had before. I said last time that Peter is no different than us. And it's like I was begging for your approval that that was true. But I'm here to tell you, Peter is no different than us. And I don't need your approval because I believe it now. God has broken me down and He has shown me that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me and will quicken my mortal body. The same Spirit that was in Peter that reached out His hand is in me. The only thing is I'm not reaching out my hand. It's the only difference. It's that Peter in faith started reaching out his hand. Right? He gave away what he had. Why don't we just start giving away what we have? Why don't we just start giving it away? Why don't we just start being love incarnate? Means love in the flesh. Love in reality. One more verse here for you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 5. Not sure exactly where in 5. Hang on a second here. Here we go. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right there. That's powerful. Do you realize that we have peace with God? Now, some people means, well, that means that God's okay with us. No, that means that everything that was offensive in us is no longer offensive to God anymore. We have been reconciled back to God. That means we have been made one with Him once again. See, that the deception in the garden wasn't just that Adam and Eve were to sin. And what I mean by the deception in the garden is that we've looked at that. We said, well, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and we've all been living like hell since then. And that's what the enemy wanted us to think happened. But what happened is Adam and Eve lost sonship. They lost their authority. Yes, they disobeyed God, and sin was the result. But sin was just a result. What happened really was they lost their sonship. And Jesus Christ brought us back to the Father. We are children of God. And if children were heirs, joint heirs with Christ, we have peace with God. Just get that. If you can realize you have peace with God, guess what? You can take that same peace that you have with God to others and give something away that's very valuable. Through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint. I don't think the New King James does this justice. I know I don't say that very often, but, oh my goodness, that went wrong. Hang on a second. And hope maketh not ashamed. Ashamed. Condemnation. Listen, hope in Christ tells us that there's no reason to be ashamed. There is no reason to hang our head. That's what Peter knew. That was the difference between the Peter that denied Jesus 3 times and the Peter that was walking around in the authority and the power of God. Hope was in him that made him not ashamed. Because the love of God, folks, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. God's agape love is poured out without measure into us. We just need to receive that. See, some, well, I don't feel it. Well, stop saying you don't feel it and just believe it. It's a done deal. There's nothing you can do to get any more of God's love in you. There's nothing you can do to get any more of the Holy Spirit in you. We say, Holy Spirit, come. That's because we want a manifestation. We want to see Him appear more in our lives. We want to have a greater awareness of His presence. But He's never far from us. He's always there. There's never a lack of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's never a lack of God in our lives. There's never a lack of His love in our lives. There's a lack of understanding. There's a lack, and without understanding, we've got unbelief. And unbelief keeps it from operating. But it's there. If we could see what's inside of us. I challenge you to do this when you get home. Now, if you can't do this, you need to first of all say, Lord, forgive me. I receive your forgiveness for whatever is holding me back from doing this, because your blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And so I do not walk in guilt and shame anymore. But then look yourself in the mirror, look yourself in the eyes, and you realize that you're looking into the eyes of a child of God. You're looking into the eyes of something so valuable to God that His blood was spilled out. Precious, holy, anointed blood spilled out so that you could be that child of God. Listen, this love that's shed abroad in our hearts is the same love that was given because God loved the world. But not just the world, you and me. See, it's so easy to say, well, He loves the church, or He loves my family. But when you start making it about you, you start putting conditions on God's love. But God, you know, I know, you know, you love me, but you know, I'm not the best. It's like, that has nothing to do with His love for you. It has to do with you receiving His love. See, I always thought it was about me loving God. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, God. You know, Sunday morning, I love you, Lord. Even during the week, oh, I love you, God. And that was just about me loving Him. But you know what? I'm never going to truly be able to love Him like the way He wants me to until I receive His love for me. Because I tell you what, my love is tainted. How many of you come to church on a Sunday and it's hard to worship Him at first? Oh, man, I tell you what, man, my life's been bummed out. I can't do anything. Right, I've made mistakes, or this has happened to me. And as you can't lift your hands, guess what? You're now loving God conditionally. That's what we're doing. We're loving God in our own strength. Oh, it hurts, doesn't it? But we don't have to. Maybe what we should start doing on Sunday morning is first of all say, well, you love me. You love me. And I love you because you love me, because I wouldn't love me. But I'm starting to love me. Because I'm starting to see myself the way you see me. And when I see myself the way you see me, wow, there is something there, God, isn't there? There was a reason why you took those stripes, why you took that abuse. I am valuable. It's amazing, the word grace, the root word of the word grace means joy or thankful. You start thinking about God's grace. God's grace, He's thankful for you. He joys over you. I know it doesn't make sense. One person said, it's scandalous. I don't care if it's scandalous. It's truth. God joys over you. He takes pleasure over you. Not just in your prosperity, even in your worst, He joys over you. If we could get that. Because we're so precious to Him. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, Spirit of adoption that's in our hearts, Spirit of sonship that's in our hearts, Spirit of life, Spirit of revelation and wisdom, that you would allow this word to go deep in our hearts. Lord, that we would no longer believe, Lord, what we've heard about ourselves, Lord, but we believe what you say about us. That you treasure us, that you love us, that you've lavished your love on us. Lord, you've poured your love into our hearts, God, so that we can love you, Lord, and love others, God. But first of all, Lord, let us receive, God, the love that you have for us. As much as it doesn't make sense to our natural mind, Lord, we receive your love today. Last week, Pastor Josh had us do something. And I don't know what it did for you guys, but man, I tell you what, it messed me up. And not that I'm just trying to ditto what he did, but I'll tell you what, with the results that I felt like it had in my heart, I, by faith, am going to have us do it again. So if you would stand up with me and realize that even, and don't say, well, this is just my hands going around myself. No, realize how much God loves you. When you wrap those arms around you, your own arms, and allow God to say, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. And you know why he can say that? Because Jesus is in you. He doesn't see you, he sees Jesus. And he said it, he's well pleased with Jesus. Say, but Pastor Mike, I don't act like Jesus. It doesn't matter. Jesus is in you. If you start realizing Jesus is in you, you'll act like Jesus. Great is his love for us. Great is his love for us. God demonstrated his love to the world when he gave his son. We don't need anything else to tell us that God loves us, even though it's all through the Bible. But God demonstrated his love to us by giving his son. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we go ahead and take your arms and wrap them around. Last week I wept. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Lord, we receive your love in our hearts right now. God, we know that this is just a symbolic expression. But Lord, we know, God, that you can come, Holy Spirit. Touch us deep, deep in our beings, God. Goes beyond human emotion, Lord. Touches our hearts. Let us know the love of the Father. Great is your love. Great is your love for me. Great is your love for me, Lord. Great is your love. receive your love, Father. We receive your love, Father. Thank you, Lord. We quit striving. We quit resisting you. We just receive the truth, Lord, that you love us. Every area in our lives, Lord, that is not aligning with what your love says about us. That, God, that we would realize, Lord, that it's your love, God, that is going to pull us through every situation, every circumstance, God, that it's your love that's going to empower us to live holy, righteous, sold-out lives for you, God. That it's your love, Lord, that's going to allow us to show others the true life of Christ. Great is your love, Lord. Great is your love. I pray for my brothers and sisters, God. I pray for the children of God that are in this house today, God. I pray, Lord, that they would go out of this place, Lord, empowered, Lord, with the truth, God, that they are accepted, that they are loved, God, and that they can truly live, Lord, a life for you, God, because you have made them, Lord, already everything they need to be. In Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that in your word we get to know you more. Take on more of your character. Take on more of who you are. Lord, I receive your word, God, that says
I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. Lord, I release, God, the empowerment for your people to find you, to seek you, Lord, in your word, God, and know you in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise God.
Yes, I love your love. Yes, I love.